We get things rolling this afternoon with our friend from WCSH-TV in Portland, WLBZ in Bangor, and Bill Green's Maine. Well, it's Bill Green, who apparently is one of the many people around the state dealing with no power. What are you doing today, Bill?
Well, I was working, but I had to come home because my generator's gone off.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to be working with that. Even when I have it, I don't have water. I don't have enough. You know, one of those deals, we're like Apollo 13 here. We're trying to harness our, you know, limited electricity to get back to Earth. And so we've had light, but we don't have running water, which is a problem. We have heat, stuff like that. So I'm cooking outside on a Coleman stove. I'm making some coffee as we speak.
This has been a surprisingly difficult storm for people. A lot of estimates that more people were without power than during the ice storm from 20 years ago. And I guess the one saving grace is that it's not 5 degrees below zero.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And it's surprising that it's taken so long for everybody to get power back. A pole snapped in front of my house at 5 o'clock Sunday morning. I heard it Monday morning. And there's a crew from Kentucky out there now. They've put in a new pole, and they're under the direction of a Maine guy. So I've got the scoop of what's happening on Valhalla Road in Cumberland, and I'm thinking maybe another day, and I'll be back.
Yeah, well, we wish you luck in that. Now, does that mean you haven't had a chance to watch the last couple of games of the World Series?
That is correct.
That's too bad, because I know you're a baseball guy. It's been some pretty good baseball.
Yeah. They get so pumped up for postseason baseball. I think we who, you know, hang around amateur baseball, we have so many fewer games that we play them at a higher emotional level, and sometimes we can't understand why the major leaguers aren't fired up like we are. But when it gets to this point, they're fired up, and they play some great baseball, and I am disappointed that I missed it.
What do you think about this new Red Sox manager hiring Alex Cora? Do you think that was the right move?
I don't know. I like guys like Girardi and, Gary DeSarcina.
Mm.
And who's the guy that was there and left and went to Arizona?
Torey Lovello.
Lovello. And do you know that his father was the executive producer of Hee-Haw?
I did not know that. That's awesome.
He has an interview. He's an old man, Rich. He barely likes to talk baseball. And he played at UCLA and got involved in TV in L.A. and started doing Hee-Haw, knew they couldn't afford to do it in L.A., so moved it to Nashville. Was the first one to move a show out of Hollywood or whatever. Went to Nashville, and so Torey Lovello, you know, grew up among all those Daisy Mays, who are probably he considers like his aunt. And I'd love to meet him and talk to him about being the son of the producer of Hee-Haw.
Wow, that's a great story. I had no idea. And
that's up your alley, right?
It is, absolutely. Too bad to see. He's going to do great wherever he is, but I hate to see Brian Butterfield leave the Red Sox, even though it sounds like a good opportunity with the Cubs.
I know, and I hate the Cubs. I want them to lose. I've always wanted them to lose. I especially want them to lose until Brian went out there. So, you know, it's going to be tough on me, but I guess I'll probably... You know, it's funny. The first time I saw Billy Swift pitch at Fenway, I was wondering, you know, what's this going to be like to know somebody on the other team? And I was cheering like heck for the Seattle Mariners instantly, you know? So I'm sure with Butter down there, I'll be cheering for the Cubs, I guess.
Now, why don't you like the Cubs, Bill?
I don't know. I've never liked them. I think they make good losers. Why ruin a good story? You know, they haven't won in 100 years. Why not go 200 years? It's a better story. I don't like Theo. I think, Rich, among the people listening to your show, there are at least 500 who, given $200 million, could build a good Major League Baseball team. And I just, when I've been around Theo and watched him, he kind of acts like he's superior. And, you know, he wears great clothes and kind of looks at the game like he sees things that we don't. And I just think that we all see the game. And he carried the bag in high school. And I just don't like the guy. But he's built two World Series champions. He's going to the Hall of Fame. I'm standing on my deck with no power.
You're a Hall of Famer,
fuck it
too.
Up, Greeny. Well, yeah, but not exactly the same one.
We're talking to Bill Green. Well, Bill, a big night is coming up on November 9th, sponsored by the Maine Folklife Center. This will be at the Minsky Recital Hall. Now, when you're growing up on the east side of Bangor, Maine, if anybody had told you at some point you would be performing in a recital hall, would you have believed them?
Well, Rich, for Bangorians, I took voice from Mr. Cup on, was it Essex Street?
Yes, it was. Yes.
I was a fine young singer who drank 50,000 cups of coffee and ended up with this voice like I've got now. But no, and like even when I was at Maine, I never thought that I would ever do anything to be honored by the university. You know, they were just making sure I got my tuition in before they handed me I want you to hear my water boiling outside here.
Mm.
I just barely got through there. I kind of had to work my way through. I had to fight my way through and, battle, between work and academics. And, geez, this is amazing.
Yeah, you'll be presented with a great award that night. And you're also going to be speaking. And your address is entitled, Kids, Don't Take My Advice, 45 Years of Bragging About Maine.
Well, that's kind of true. It's the Folklore Center. They're going to be doing a thing about Maine storytellers. I know that Dave Mallett's up after me here in another month or two. They'll have an evening with David. And this kicks off a series that the Folklife Center is doing. When I was at Maine looking for the easiest way through, I said, well, I'll take folklore. Because, what could be easier than that, right? And I had a guy named Sandy Ives.
Oh, yes.
Who was, kind of an eccentric guitar playing, singing, talented PhD. And I went to school with his son. And you know what? It was a hard course. But I took up, 6 hours of folklore. And I did enjoy a great deal some of the stories he'd collected around Maine. There's a guy down in Jonesport Beals named Barney Beal. And, some of those stories that we've heard of, the foot on the rock in Bucksport, the truth behind it. And all those stories did resonate with me. And I've always kind of enjoyed being a feature storytelling guy. And so I was delighted when they called me up and said, hey, you want to do something?
And we're also going to be having a discussion with Brian Naylor of National Public Radio, who is also a UMaine grad.
Yeah, Brian and I were there at the same time. I assume he graduated in 76. He was a better student, kind of a quieter guy than I was. But we did link up, and I think it was called Advanced Television Production. I think I took 6 hours of that. And I was already working at Channel 2. And had been there 2 or 3 years by then. And so I knew how to direct a simple show and run camera and do rudimentary lighting. And so Brian, who was, I thought, maybe the outstanding student in that program, and I would usually link up in these production projects that you had to do. Every couple of weeks, your turn would come up. And he would usually use me as a director. I believe he always did. And I always used him as a talent or something because, he was very good. And I think at that point I was pretty good at compared to kids who were just learning to run camera and stuff. And we would do our projects very quickly, and I think got pretty good grades. And I'm really flattered that he would come up because he's been the, White House correspondent, the Washington bureau chief for NPR for a long, long time. I've heard him on NPR for 25 years reporting on the very biggest stories in the country. So I'm very flattered that he would come up.
Well, it's a well-deserved honor, and I've told you this before, and you're always very humble about it, but you've done such a service to the people of Maine by sharing these stories, and many of them little-known stories through the years on Bill Green's Maine. I've stolen countless stories from you to use in my Maine Studies classes, my U.S. History classes through the years, and you've just helped to expand our knowledge so much of this state.
Thank you, Rich. And, we're doing something that I think is interesting. Because guys like Cliff Reynolds and Andy Driscoll, you can't find much stuff of their stuff. I actually asked that we get an archivist, and he's a graduate student from Westbrook at Simmons College. And he's archiving all my shows, and we'll have them online, first on our website and then at Maine Libraries, so they won't be lost. And I'm excited about that maybe some social studies teacher will, pull out a story about, you name it. I can't think of anybody. John H. Reed. I almost said Roger Reed. I haven't done a story of Roger Reed. John H. Reed and play it to some junior high kids, and maybe they'll get some perspective on what it was like way back in 2010.
I still use it. It's so old, it's a VCR copy of the special you did many years ago, Maine, The Shape We're In.
Oh, my goodness, Rich. It's... Can I tell you 35 seconds? I don't want to go over my time.
You have no time limit. You're Bill Green, damn it.
So I did that show linearly, as you will laugh at the next time you watch it. And then I watched the first segment, and I realized, oh, my goodness, I left a part out. So I had to go back and attach 47 seconds on the front of it. So when you listen to the first 47 seconds, it's like, in 1817, some good, you know, there was some green sprig boys captured an English camp, you know, and you listen, I'm talking like an auctioneer for 45 seconds. And then some music comes up, and it slows down. But now we could, of course, just slide the timeline to the right and insert 45 seconds. But back then, you started with the first word, and you ended with the last word. And I'm impressed that you have that.
Hey, so you were talking about singing, and it reminded me of a story. And I don't know that I've ever told you this before. When I was in high school, I auditioned for a play, and Jim Pike was the director, and he cast me in this play, and he explained that it was quite a big singing part. And I had said to him, you know, I can't sing. And he said, oh, everyone can sing. And so when I got cast, he said, yeah, sing Happy Birthday. And as I started to sing Happy Birthday, the blood drained from his face. And he got very scared. And he said, every afternoon, you're going to come in before rehearsal, and you're going to work with this young woman, and you're going to learn to find your pitch, and she's going to teach you to sing enough so I can actually work with you. And that person was your sister. Your little sister, Marcia.
Oh, my goodness. We grew up in my family, Rich. Marcia and Julie both play the piano pretty well. And we were all singers. My mother loved to sing. And we would have family sing, standing around the piano on Parkview Avenue, banging out Kick-Kick-Katie and Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree with Anyone Else But Me. I know all the World War I and World War II stuff. And so we actually are a pretty musical family. And I'll give you one more. I went to the symphony last week and heard a piece that's now 17 years old called The Masked Man. And it's like the greatest piece of symphonic music I've ever heard. It's full chorale and symphony. And it's been on the bestseller list. So I want all your sports fans out there to go out and listen to a new piece of music, 17 years old. And I think it's going to rival like Handel's Messiah. It's called The Marked Man. It's unbelievable.
Well, it sounds fantastic. Well, hey, Bill, yeah. It's always a treat. We appreciate you, especially under these somewhat trying conditions with no power, to come on with us this afternoon. Congratulations on this very well-deserved honor. November 9th up at the Minsky Recital Hall, Bill will be honored as a distinguished alumni of the University of Maine. Brian Naylor from NPR there to host, and Bill will talk about his adventures over 45 stellar careers in television, years in television. Bill, thanks as always for being with us.
My pleasure. It's good to be with you.
Bill Green, WCSH-TV, WLBC, Bill Green's Maine, the Green Outdoors. He's everywhere and now honored by the University of Maine. And it could not happen to a better guy. And I mean that. What he's done, and the stories that Bill has told through the years and the remarkable people that I've learned about. Things, and I was a history teacher. Things I didn't know. Some of the stories. People like O.O. Howard, who lost an arm in the Civil War and then was the Howard University,
yep.
The nation's first.
I learned that from him.
First all-black school named after a white guy from Maine.
Yeah, I once got to work with Bill out at Sugarloaf for some logistics. Got to be one of the greatest guys to shoot the breeze with I have ever met.
Absolutely.
It was fabulous.
And, the stories, we always love talking about the old TV days when he was working with Eddie Driscoll first starting out, and some of the legends too. So he's one of them now himself. Thanks to Bill for coming on with us.